Well, hello, folks, and welcome back to this week's show of The Rusted Culture. I want to thank you for joining us, and I'm your host, Frank Ebersold. And as always, you can always reach us at rustedcultureradar@gmail.com. We've got quite an interesting show coming up for you here. Stay tuned, and I'll be right back. Well, we're hearing a lot about the deep state here recently on TV. No matter where you seem to turn, it's something that somebody is talking about. Well, just what the heck is it? And we're going to tell you. And we're going to go into a little bit of detail about that deep state. Well, it's supposedly, the whole thing about the deep state, it's supposedly Obama-era leftovers that are entrenched in various areas of government or burrowed into government, as Sean Spicer just put it recently. You know, even old Tootie Newt Gingrich himself is piling on the bandwagon by saying they're fighting to keep hold of their power. Newt even suggested that he's discussed this with Steve Bannon, who seems inclined to whip up conspiracy theories in his head almost daily. Steve seems to have taken his belief that the federal government is the root of all evil with its troublesome regulations. And his goal, Steve Bannon is, his goal, as he states it, is to deconstruct the administrative state. Well, you can see evidence of this in two ways. First, let's just look at the budgets of the EPA, the State Department, and many others that have had drastic cuts announced recently, some by almost 30%. Second, just look at who's simply in charge at the EPA these days. Scott Pruitt. And Scott Pruitt doesn't even think that carbon dioxide is a primary contributor to global warming and the environment. I mean, I think we're teaching this at a kindergarten level, folks, that carbon dioxide is a primary contributor, and the director of the EPA doesn't think it is. I mean, couldn't he set up an experiment in an old fish tank, terrarium, prove this out? Come on. This is not really a director. That's a deconstructionist of the EPA when you appoint somebody like that. And if that's not enough, let's look over here to the right and the Health and Human Services new director, Tom Price. I kind of like to call him Dr. Jekyll. Could you appoint anyone else less compassionate towards the future of Americans' health care? Really? Do you think you could? I don't think so. And I've got some interesting bits on Dr. Jekyll and his alter ego, Mr. Hyde, coming up in the next segment. You won't want to miss that. So, folks, keep in mind that the end game is for Steve Bannon with the deep state theories and the deconstruction of the administrative state. For the end game, just look at Russia, because that's who they idolize. Before all this talk of Russian ties, you know, Trump had nothing but praise for Vladimir Putin. Nothing but praise on the campaign trail. Could hardly say anything negative, could he? Didn't say anything negative. Even yesterday in Breitbart, I know Breitbart is a mouthpiece for vitriol, in my opinion. I read it so you don't have to. In that, Little Miss Ann Coulter had an article that was entitled, "Let's Make Russia Our Sister Country," where she goes into great detail where the number one enemy is not Russia, it's Islam. Come on. And to sum it all up, to sum up all the Russian love that she has, in her alt-right view, she says that Russia has been dealing with the troublesome Muslims for centuries. Like, maybe we should look at what they're doing and copy that? Well, if you'd like to read the article in detail, see the link to this article on my website, www.rustedculture.com. So this is the ban and fear here, folks, that immigrants of any kind... And the challenge to deal with all of that fear is how to get the U.S. to become more like Russia. And folks, I don't hate Russia. I think they could do a lot better job when it comes to, things like free speech. They have no free speech. There is no free press. Every media outlet is under state control. I think they could do a better job at not hacking foreign countries to sway their elections and lie about it all the way down the road. It's a country where enemies of the state are locked up or killed. And ultimately, you even control the election process, so that you can keep the whole thing going. Q keep the whole bit rolling down the road. That's how it works. And folks, you know, that's not my vision for America. It might be Steve Bannon's vision for America and thereby Trump's vision for America, but it's not my vision for America. So in whipping up all these fears of a deep state conspiracy, all these conspiracy theories really, and by putting deconstructionists in charge of key government positions, that's one way you upend the whole administrative state so that you can affect the ultimate goal of being more like Russia, the perfect state. So just by, let's narrow the focus a little bit to the deep state for a moment by saying the deep state is it's out to get you. When you convince yourself of that conspiracy theory and your mentality is to look at almost everything as a conspiracy, your entire sense of reality drifts away with the idea that they're out to get me and they're out to get Trump and they're out. Well, let's just look at the White House. There's a culture of paranoia at the White House that is so thick in the air, it's like a fog. The deep state fog was so thick a couple of weeks ago that Sean Spicer, the White House press secretary, checked staffers' cell phones for any app that would allow them to communicate in a clandestine fashion. Sean Spicer says that he and others, they're no longer doing that. But did Trump know about it? More than likely. Probably thought it was a great idea. So staffers can't be trusted? Evidently not. And that's one toxic work environment at the White House. I don't even know if I want to go on a tour. You know, according to Politico, according to the website Politico, Trump has a history of overseeing pressure cooker organizations rife with suspicion, setting up surveillance to monitor employees at his properties. And the article goes on to quote a Republican at the White House that junior level staffers are simply mimicking what they see at the top. Everyone at the top is so suspicious that it trickles right on down the organizational chart. Well, that's Trump's management style at work in the White House. If you'd like to read that article, you can see my website, rustedculture.com, for a link to the Politico article. You know, that's a management style that it might work in Trump's organization, the real estate organization. It might work on TV, but it's clearly not working at the White House. Paranoia will destroy you. So let's take a look at the paranoid White House now to include, let's take it up a notch, to include senators, congressmen and women, and even the Secretary of State. Well, folks, you've undoubtedly heard that Ringling Brothers Circus is closing down. The greatest show on earth is going away. But there's a new circus in town, folks. I can smell the popcorn, I can smell it, and I can see the elephants. I can almost see them. It's the Donald Trump Circus that's now in town. It's the circus where everyone is a pooper scooper, but Donald. You know, the pooper scoopers, those are the guys that would always be a step away from the elephants, picking up their poo that would happen at a moment's notice. Well, senior staffers, congressmen and women, even senators and the Secretary of State now, they're all bona fide pooper scoopers. And the big elephant is this new administration. And here's how it all typically rolls out. Here's how it goes. Well, one day Trump tweets, NATO is obsolete. And just last month, Secretary of State Rex Tillerson and a bunch of senators fan out across Europe to explain to all our allies that the U.S. will stand behind them, no matter what Trump said. That's pooper scooping. Trump tweets about how he would have won the popular vote if there weren't 3 million illegal voters. So numerous, after that little bomb hit, numerous secretaries of states from all the different states appear on TV, both Democrat and Republican. They take to the airwaves denouncing the claim because that's their job, to ensure their state's election process is fair. And they take the job of ensuring fair elections in their state very seriously. You know, senators and congressmen and women, they were all over the place explaining to America that the elections we have are fair. You know, that's some major pooper scooping going on. Secretaries of State, congressmen and women, and their senators all turned to high-level pooper scoopers. Well, the latest stunt old Ringmaster Trump deployed in the circus was to tweet that Obama tapped my wires. by golly, you tapped my wires at the Trump Tower. Well, here you have it. Once again, senators, congressmen, and congresswomen all grab their shovels, the big aluminum ones with the high sides to get all the stuff, and they're turned into pooper scoopers behind the elephant of the White House. Senator Lindsey Graham, who I must say is gaining respect in my book for saying that Trump is challenging Congress, if you can believe that. Trump challenged Congress to look into this wiretapping claim. And Senator Graham is doing just that. He decided, well, we're going to take you up on that. Graham has asked the FBI and the Department of Justice for any evidence of a warrant that would support Trump's wiretapping claim, and he wants it ASAP. You know, Senator Graham is even willing to issue subpoenas for the information, willing to hold up the Attorney General's nomination until Congress is provided with information to clear the air on this issue. Well, good for Senator Graham. That's one pooper scooper that doesn't let scooping the poop behind the elephant. You know, in true showmanship style, Trump said that I think you'll see some interesting stuff over the next 2 weeks related to my wiretapping claims. Well, good luck with that. You know, really, good luck with it. You know, it's crazy. But wait, there's more. There's another fresh pile that just came out of the White House that they just apparently quickly tried to scoop themselves. Sean Spicer dropped a real hot one after alleging that a UK intelligence agency spied on President Trump at the request of Barack Obama. Well, in the White House there, H.R. McMaster did the pooper scooping on this one. He did the job. And folks, where does all this end? I mean, when does it end? That's what I like to know, is when does it end? So we hear all this talk about leaks and mumbo-jumbo of a deep state, the paranoia of Trump, and how that trickles down. And when you factor in the resentment that turning on other high-level Republicans, turning these guys into pooper scoopers, when you factor in the resentment from that, when they really could be working on important things this country faces, when you factor all of this paranoia and resentment in, when you hear them blame the deep state, that's not the problem. Well, stay tuned here. We've got some interesting news coming right up. Well, you know, we've got a lot to worry about here as it is, don't you think? The list is extensive. You know, one worry that's been bandied about has been the fear of a satellite that could detonate way up in the sky, unleashing an electromagnetic pulse that would fry all of our electronics at home, in our pockets, and in our cars. Well, that's all cars except my 1980s vintage Mercedes diesel that I drive. And no, that's not why I drive it. But the story here is that the U.S. Air Force has developed an electromagnetic pulse weapon of their own, and Boeing is going to build it. The new weapon is called CHAMP, and without anything nuclear going on inside the weapon, it's going to be able to create an electronics frying EMP wave that can surgically target buildings, frying anything electronic with pinpoint accuracy as it flies above, kind of like a drone. Well, testing has been a big success, and evidently, and apparently, it's already been deployed in the Air Force. Interesting story there. Now, the last, I'm trying to break up the monotony of some of the stuff that we go through here, and this story is no exception. Now to the radioactive pigs. I don't know if you, have you heard about that? The fact that Japan is now lifting evacuation orders on 4 towns within a 12-mile exclusion zone around the failed Fukushima nuclear plant. But wild pigs are preventing former residents from reclaiming their land. The pigs are, believe it or not, they're 300 times more radioactive with cesium-137 in their system. That's 300 times more radioactive than safety standards allow, so you can't eat them. God help you. You can't eat them. And these pigs have evidently taken up residence in abandoned homes, attacking anyone who dares to enter. There's thousands of them that are on the loose. And despite having killed 13,000 already in hunts since 2014, there's still thousands of them out there. Scary stuff. Well, coming right up here in just a second, we're going to have some information on John Boehner's prophecy that he made on February 25th that Obamacare repeal and replace is not what's going to happen. Okay, well, first off, I don't know if you saw it on TV, but CNN just had a town hall with Dr. Jekyll, Tom Price. And you've really got to love a doctor that is cutting healthcare back so far that millions of people, especially those making less than $15,000 a year that are now on Medicaid, will no longer have healthcare. You've got to love a doctor like that. And because of that cutback, people are going to die. You know, do you think Dr. Jekyll cares? Hell no. In that CNN town hall, his flashy response to Medicaid cuts was that you can't measure the success of a program by how much money you throw at it. Well, the fact of the matter is, Dr. Jekyll, is that you can cover more people with more money. And by cutting the Medicaid funds to states, you're going to force the states to do your dirty work of cutting folks off health care. But I've got to tell you that Dr. Jekyll was far more sanguine on Medicaid and Medicare far before becoming director of the Health and Human Services. You know, after watching that town hall, I sat there and I kind of wondered to myself after watching it. I said, and by the way, in that town hall, Dana Bash did an excellent job of holding Tom Price to the facts. But afterward, I wondered, you know, that as an orthopedic surgeon, did Dr. Tom Price accept Medicaid patients? And, you know, Dr. Price claimed that 30% of doctors nationwide don't accept Medicaid. What I found was, a little alarming. But what I found even more alarming, kind of like a keep you up at night kind of alarming, was according to the website Daily Cause, which I have a link to this article on my website, www.rustedculture.com. If you don't know it by now, there's a link there. Well, according to that article, Dr. Jekyll himself, he's part of a radical right-wing physicians group called the Association of American Physicians and Surgeons. The abbreviation is AAPS. It was founded in 1943 to fight socialized medicine, as they call it. Now, according to that article on Daily Cause, they even fueled the health attack scare. Remember that? On Hillary Clinton, they even fueled that health attack, that heart attack scare, the whole health crisis on Hillary Clinton. Well, the group themselves, the AAPS, they opposed the establishment of Medicaid and Medicare 50-plus years ago, saying the effect of the law is evil. Really? It's evil? Medicaid and Medicare, those are life-saving organizations, branches of the government. And unless you're a physician in Dr. Jekyll's clutch of doctors known as the AAPS, those two entities, Medicaid and Medicare, have saved lives. But it doesn't stop there. The AAPS requires doctors to sign a pledge stating that they're not going to work with Medicare or Medicaid, and according to the article, they made it okay morally and ethically for doctors to refuse to treat patients on Medicaid and Medicare. You know, folks, that's scary stuff to me when you've got a doctor that feels that way, that's now running the Health and Human Services. You talk about deconstruction of an organization. Well, that's who's in charge now of Medicaid and Medicare, my friends, believe it or not. So is it any wonder that Tom Price's healthcare plan, TrumpCare, along with Paul Ryan, is it any wonder that the new TrumpCare plan is going to hit 50 to 64-year-old Americans? It's going to hit them so hard by only giving the poorest $333 a month to help with insurance costs. But now they're going to allow insurance companies to charge five times more what they charge younger enrollees for coverage. It was three times more in Obamacare. Now it's going to be five. Second point is they're going to slaughter the poor by cutting Medicaid benefits to millions that get health care today. And if you really want to know if Medicaid is working, ask those that get benefits today. And millions of people, 60 million of them are on the Medicaid plan, will tell you that it is working. Just ask. And the third point here is that employers, under this new Trump Care plan, they've now got an incentive to drop your coverage as an employee with no government penalty. You could end up losing your employee health care because there is no penalty for companies to stop covering you. No penalty whatsoever under Trump Care. So, you know, what do you think? Not everybody, some employers will do. I mean, seriously, think about it. In previous episodes, I have long said that healthcare is a right and we should have a base option for all Americans to have health insurance that costs no more than, say, 4% of your salary. You can't make America great again by not investing in healthy Americans first, before cutting taxes for the rich, before spending billions and dumping billions and billions more into defense. This president evidently can't prioritize health care for Americans, and that's a problem, especially when the middle class is shrinking. It's shrinking before our eyes. According to a Pew Research study, the share of middle-income households just decreased from 55% in 2000 to 51% in 2014. But get this, the share of upper-income households rose from 17% to 20% in the same period. So the 1% is getting bigger. The middle class is getting smaller. You know, I think you need to invest in Americans before you go any further. You know, President Trump's greatest enemy is going to be his agenda alone, which, just look at healthcare and his tax cuts for the rich. His agenda is going to be, it's only going to widen the gap between the haves and the have-nots. And folks, that's why Bernie Sanders is so darn popular, and that's why folks at town halls are hopping mad, and that's how we the people affect change. So really, with this Trump Care plan, what I think should happen is to allow Democrats who just repeated yesterday that they're willing to fix Obamacare, sparing the Republicans calling this Trump Care. I'd take them up on it. It just makes sense. Well, folks, I want to thank you for the listen here. And as always, you can email me at therustedcultureradar@gmail.com. Or you can visit my site, by the way, for all those links and everything else. And I want to thank you for joining us once again, and we will be back in the future, and I hope you can tune in again.